Next item is subdivision number 2005-71, Delaware Land Associates, wetlands jurisdictional determination request.
This is, next two items are both the same. They are requests to not be required to obtain a JD from the Army Corps of Engineers for the wetlands delineation in order to obtain final record plan approval, and we provided you guys at the last meeting with copies of the plan, or copies of the letters, with their reasons why.
Gentlemen, under the impression we're having a public hearing today?
We had some information we hope we could share regarding this request, if that's possible.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out. Okay, Mr. Johnson, what's the latest?
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, we had the information presented the last special meeting. There's information that's been submitted, Mr. Abbott said, on both of these. There was a discussion about it with regard to what's in the subdivision code a month ago. Predominantly, the issue is whether or not you need to have U.S. Army Corps of Engineers sign off on the wetlands delineation that's given at the time of a preliminary site plan approval in advance of final site plan approval. I will tell you that in reviewing the subdivision code, there's reference to wetlands throughout it, of course. You know, there's a wetlands notice. There's the requirement that you, you know, show all the wetlands. 99-26A, number 17, says that you have to contain the information, and it needs to be signed by an experienced and qualified individual to verify the accuracy of the wetlands information. I'm not sure, and Mr. Lank or Mr. Abbott can chime in, and certainly Mr. Couts, if there's anywhere that specifically says you need to have the Corps of Engineers then go behind the experienced and qualified individual to verify the accuracy of it. But that's sort of the heart of what we're looking at.
Letter we require final approval from before we grant final approval. How else do you make that determination if you don't have the approval?
Right. No, I'm right. I'm just saying what the code sort of says. That's been the...
It says it shall be provided. So
yeah.
How do you verify?
Right.
I've only been here a little over 5 years. My understanding, I don't know when the practice started, but I believe we've been doing it for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's been the practice.
This is not a new requirement, and
since the litigation out in the west through the Corps, there's been lack of responses from the Corps,
right?
At least in this jurisdiction, maybe not in other places.
Right. Well, I, the thing that strikes me though a little bit, and this is what I throw out for a little bit of consideration, is, you know, we've got an experienced and qualified individual, quote unquote, that's saying where the wetlands are on the site plan. That's what the code requires. And the practice has always been to go out and get the Corps of Engineers to verify that. Now the Corps of Engineers apparently isn't verifying that, at least what's been represented, unless you go and have disturbance. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what we've been told. At what point do you stop relying on somebody's professional certification? You know, you have a professional engineer or surveyor sealing the thing too. I don't know. I'm not taking an issue on it. I'm just sort of laying out, the considerations.
Well, I think as you may have gathered from the last time we talked about this, I would agree with the notion that if you have had a qualified person do that, the verification by the Army Corps is not a requirement of the ordinance. I know that we have asked for it. I think we should continue to require everyone to make a good faith effort to seek it. But if they're not responding in a timely fashion, that's an issue for me. If they're not getting back to people, then they're not getting back to them. Now, the applicant proceeds at his own peril. If something happens later on and the Army Corps comes in and shuts them down, that's their issue. That's not our issue. You know, that would be my take on it. They cannot accept our approval as the Army Corps' approval. The Corps' approval is theirs. If they want to come in and say, whoops, you can't do this when they're halfway through construction, well, if he wants to take that risk.
To muddy the waters.
Muddy it up a little further. Go ahead.
Make it like pea soup, I think, as we said on the other one. There is the requirement. It's 9924E. It says when special studies or investigations pertain to a regulatory program of another public agency, the subdivider shall submit the results of these studies or investigations to said public agencies for technical review and approval. Written comments from these agencies shall be supplied to the commission by the subdivider. So you have that, but then you have, as I said, 9926A17, that says that the final site plan's got to be signed showing, what is it, A17? The location of all wetlands signed by an experienced qualified professional shall be provided, verifying the accuracy of the delineation. So to some extent, one deals with the other.
Mr. Robertson, as you know, that is all part of the Lawyers Full Employment Act. the way those things, the vagueness with which these things get written sometimes, it just guarantees that there will be more than one side to the two-sided coin.
But here's the other thing I am concerned about, though. I don't want the commission to take a position that we shouldn't be requiring an agency comment because of the amount of time it's taken, because that is a Pandora's box that probably shouldn't be opened, as it's taken longer and longer, given the volume that some of these agencies are experiencing. State agencies, whatever, Otherwise, it seems like you run the risk of... Well, it took forever for fire marshal, for example, to review this. I don't want you to waive it,
Well, I guess the question there is, I think some of these others you can argue... I understand what you're saying. The time element alone is perhaps not sufficient reason, but it does seem to me like we're requiring suspenders and a belt. We have we have someone, a professional person, certifying. There's not a permit that is issued. There's a determination that no permit will be issued is required. Now, I think the irony here is if wetlands are being disturbed, if they want to build over them, they have to get a permit, they have to get a determination. If there are wetlands on the site and they're being identified, avoided, and essentially what we're asking or what is sought from the Army Corps is just for them to, give their nod to, yes, this is the way to handle that. It's not a permit. There's not an issue of them issuing a permit or anything, as there is with these other agencies. DLDOT issues a permit. The fire marshal issues a permit. The soil conservation people issue a permit. And I know I should have gone to law school.
And here's what it boils down to, is that the code talks about wetlands. It talks a little bit about the Corps of Engineers. It talks about the qualified individual. It talks about submitting and getting a report from the public agencies. What it boils down to is the county and the commission has interpreted that to mean up to right now that you have to go get the Corps of Engineers to sign off on it. What you're deciding is whether you want to change that interpretation.
Absolutely.
So we don't always get letters from other agencies commenting on the application, do we? Didn't you send out?
For instance, we send it out to the school districts. We never get letters from the school district. We don't wait for them.
Or by subdivisions here and subdivisions. Yeah, we ask for comments, but they're not obligated to.
We still go ahead and vote on them.
Well, is the Army Corps obligated? Are they obligated to us? I don't think so. I think they're obligated. They're privileged to do whatever they want, which includes ignoring us.
Mr. Chairman, when there is a discrepancy, like in Deep Branch that was just here, there was...
Right.
A wetlands delineation line determined in this one corner of the property, and you had 10 or 15 residents that say, I know that this line's wrong.
Then you can say, well, we'll wait you always have the privilege to add it to your conditions of approval. If there's the wetlands are in question, then make it a condition of approval that they get the Army Corps' jurisdictional determination. But if there's no issue, if there doesn't appear to be a problem anywhere.
In that scenario, though, you get back to what's, you know, it's sort of an evidentiary type issue. I mean, you've got a professional saying, you know, this is my opinion where the wetlands are.
And somebody else saying it's not, who may not be a
professional. But then they would have to hire somebody.
Well, I think what it boils down to is that in that instance, in that scenario, it would be largely a matter of the weight one places on the testimony being given. Clearly, the testimony of a licensed professional versus the testimony of someone who is not particularly skilled in the identification of wetlands is not too hard to figure out. The fun starts when each of them have an expert and they differ. And that's the point at which you say, go send it to the Army Corps, let them decide, and then that's it. We always have that option to do that. We can always add that as a condition. You know, I know it's a bit cumbersome, but if we have to address this issue on each application, then it just becomes a standard comment that we, like some of the others we have, whether or not what we're going to require.
I could offer just a couple of observations. One of the things that we've had presented to us on occasion is what I'll call a summary determination by a consulting firm that there are no wetlands on a particular property. We don't know the qualifications of the person making the determination. We don't know what field work was done. All we know is that there was a statement that there are no wetlands. Maybe correct, maybe totally accurate. We don't know. It's just a reliance by somebody that there are no wetlands. That to me leaves a bit of a record that's not quite covered entirely. The second point, for what it's worth, Kent County also requires the Corps to sign off before final plat approval. The last point, I'm not so much, from my professional point of view, I'm not so much concerned about whether or not we get an official sign off. I think that it's important to have it, but I can see why there might be an issue with it. To me, what is more important is if our ordinance requires a undisturbed vegetated buffer, and that buffer has been identified on the plans, my concern is that we get that buffer, and I'm more recently convinced that there's a bit of a disconnect between the plans that are being presented to us and the assertions that are being presented to us and what actually happens out in the field when folks with the dozers and the chainsaws get out there. Somehow there's a disconnect and we're not getting the buffers in every case that we should be. And to me, that's the bigger issue. And I think there needs to be a greater assurance that that's taking place, regardless of who signs off on the determination. So I think there's a bigger issue there.
Well, the Army Corps is not going to do anything about the buffers. I mean, they're just going to say, yeah, the line you drew is okay. Right.
But the problem is, to tag on what Rick said, though, is if, you know, that line changes, you know, at some point that could affect where lots are.
I mean, I think everybody understands that. And if the line, you know, if the Army Corps decides that it's in the wrong place, and Mr. Developer's got a problem.
And that could also happen with state wetlands also.
So I think to a certain extent it's about how much risk do they want to take. You know, if they want to take that chance, I would agree with your comments about the buffers. I think that's absolutely right. It disturbs me that if the plans that are being approved are not being built that way, that's a problem. To me, that's a shutdown. If the inspector goes out there and it's not being done according to plan, stop the job. Just boom, stop it, and let them come back here and explain to us why. Okay. That to me is the hammer. So,
Well, that's one of the reasons that the last week's meeting, the question was asked if the developer had would object to us requiring that the silt fence be placed at the buffer line rather than at the wetlands line. So we knew that was going to be left undisturbed.
I think it would be an excellent.
That's what brought it out.
I think that would do more for us than requiring an Army Corps sign off. But I understand the arguments on both sides of that, and I can certainly live with whatever the group wants to do. If you want to decide something today, or if on the basis of this discussion.
Rick, what's Kent County's ordinance say? You know, is it specific that it requires? I mean, you don't have to let me know now. But.
Well, I just happen to have received.
I was going to say, I think I'm not sure that we.
Well, I'm not so much worried. I don't want the statement out there that Kent County is the same as Sussex County, because Kent McKinney may have an ordinance that specifically says one thing, and we don't. That's why.
My question was about the process.
Right.
I also got a copy of the ordinance, but my general question was, is the process similar to ours? And what I got back is that they require Corps permit prior to final plan approval. So to that extent, it's similar.
But ours doesn't say that in the ordinance, right?
It does not say, I can't tell you that in the ordinance it says that you've got to get the Corps of Engineers approval.
It quotes you chapter and verse, right?
Their ordinance isn't as directly, doesn't have that direct link either, I don't believe. It just says that no portion of a wetland shall be cleared without, unless granted permission under state or federal permits, including nationwide permits authorized by the Corps of Engineers. That's as close as it comes to linking it directly to the Corps.
It goes back to it's the policy and how that's
but
been
it's
interpreted.
But it's the process.
And which is the similarity that you're referring to. Right, that way, sure. Yeah, sure. Right. Understood. Well understood.
And I guess from a procedural standpoint, since the federal law and is as clear as it can be, in the sense that the Corps is the one in conjunction with the EPA are the ones that have the final decision on jurisdiction.
Well, I don't think we're denying that.
No,
I just think we're saying that it's not a it isn't a reason to withhold our approval necessarily. If they come in later on and feel that the developer has violated a federal law, then they will deal with them. You know, I mean, I know it's. And the other, I guess my other thought on that is that if you didn't have a professional in the loop whose credentials and career is on the line over the line that he draws, it would bother me a lot more. In fact, I wouldn't, I would say we need to wait. But the fact that there's somebody there that's doing it, and the opposition in a public hearing, the opposition always has the opportunity to hire their own expert and to refute it if it's that big a problem. At that point, you can say, well, okay, if you're
the third party to determine,
and that would be the Corps to say, well, we'll have to wait. You know, I mean, that's one way to do it.
Well, I mean, I guess the other thing is, the other way to come at this is right now we're on agenda item 10. And
I'm leaving at 5:30. So you may have to finish the meeting.
Yeah, right.
Ben.
You know, it's not asking necessarily for this whole policy, I don't think, to be, at least the way I read the notes, to be changed. It's asking that this matter be eliminated with regard to getting final site plan or final record plan approval. You know, maybe the thing to do is
case by case.
Yeah, look at it, go back and take an opportunity to look at it and see if you're comfortable with the delineation and the qualifications of the, whoever it is that certified it under 9926A17, and see if you're comfortable with the waiver on this particular one, and the same on number 11, rather than changing your policy.
The only thing I would say about the specifics of subdivision 0571, without knowing a whole lot of detail on where the JD is in the process, one is this dates from 2005, and they should have been exploring the JD before that, just as part of their due diligence to find out what the impact would be on the design. So
I think they would probably say they were, because it got preliminary in November 20 of 2006.
Right. And the other thing is,
so I think that's what they
it
said.
Is a, in because of its nearness to Millsboro Pond, I just think that in this particular case, the accuracy of the determination should be reviewed by somebody, just because of the sensitive nature of the entire site and where it's located and the potential impacts. Some other cases may not be as sensitive, but in this particular case, it may be sensitive.
Was there an expert line drawn?
Yes. Wetlands delineation. A person qualified to do wetlands delineation does it and signs off on it. Yeah.
But for this particular application?
Yes, there was.
Yeah, it was delineated by JCM Environmental, according to the letter, it's JCM Environmental consulting firm with a licensed professional wetland scientist on staff.
Who just might be present.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to ask you this question, okay? And before you answer it, I want to say. If you would like to hear from these gentlemen that are here today, you'll need to let me know. Now, to the gentlemen that are here today, you have to ask yourselves, is it worth incurring the ire of every person up here if you stand up and start telling us what we already know? If you've got something different, okay, and then these guys want to hear it, that's fine. But what you got on that screen right now, you better change that page quick, because we know that, okay? And any other pages you've got in there that we've already talked about, because we're not going to be here all night rehashing this same thing. Now, gentlemen, that being said, would you like to hear from these folks, or do you have enough information?
I think, Mr. Chairman, if they have something new to add to our discussion, I would be amenable to hearing it.
Okay.
But if it's a regurgitation of what we already know, then I think you should exert your privilege as chairman and call the process.
All right, then. Anyone else?
Agreed.
Gentlemen?
Concur.
Okay. I think these gentlemen do have a clear understanding of where we are on this issue. That being said, Mr. Fuquay.
Mr. Wheatley, I can't add anything to what you're saying, and the fellows back here know a whole lot more about this than I do. I just want to make – actually, I have a question, first of all.
Okay, good.
Because what I've heard stated, which was a surprise to me, was that on every subdivision that has wetlands on it that's been approved – there is a wetland determination from the Army Corps of Engineers that the counties received? That's what was stated. Now, that's foreign to me.
I don't think anybody said that. I think what we've said is that there are determinations that have been made by engineers that there are wetlands or not wetlands. Whether or not they're jurisdictional is a whole other issue.
Okay, no, but that's what that ordinance does say, that you have to have a verified statement from a qualified expert. But just so there's no misunderstanding, all those subdivisions we've been doing for all those years, for the most part, there's no determinations from the Army Corps of Engineers. That's never been a requirement.
Correct.
It's never been a requirement of any of these subdivisions. So this isn't the old policy. This is a brand new policy that was never there before. That's my understanding.
Well, I just went back through a record on somebody from 2002 that had that as a condition. It was an RPC.
Well, on some developments, the developer had gotten the determinations and they were submitted. So I'm sure that's the case. But I'm not aware of it being required or on many approved subdivision. It just wasn't there. The obviously practical problem, forgetting about all the pluses and minuses, you can't get it. You just can't get it. I mean, Jim McCulley here, he's an expert. He's a qualified expert. He's an expert held in high regard by everyone. I mean, he'll tell you, as I understand, he's got a deal right now where he's been waiting 5 years for the determination. Now, basically, I can come in and get my approval. I can get my 2 one-year extensions, so I keep it good for 3 years. It will then expire because I haven't submitted my Army Corps determination. I guess I can then refile, wait, and I'll have it by the time I get to my second round of hearings. I mean, it's absurd. You can't do it. The qualified expert, obviously, if the person is qualified, then there is a certain risk in anything you're doing. But you hire an expert, you get them to say where that line is. And, you know, maybe what your requirement should be is that the applicant has to submit for a jurisdictional determination. And that way, at some point in time in the future, be it 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years, whatever it is, there will be a response from the Army Corps of Engineers to at least verify that, or to at least raise the inconsistency if there is one. You know, that might be a practical solution to it. Perfect? No, not perfect. But, you know, it might be one way to deal with it. But, again, I just wanted to make it clear that these determinations have not been received by the county in the past for the most part, at least not as a matter of course. With that, I'll shut up and turn this over to these gentlemen and whatever they want to take a chance at. I had already advised not to show any more PowerPoint because I knew that was not a good idea.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
question for Mr. Fuqua.
Mr. Fuqua, before you go away, we've got a question for you.
If you submit for a jurisdictional wetlands to them, and do they respond at some point? Do they respond 4 years later?
Here's
stay on the books.
Here's as I understand how it works. Just like in my office, I have all these things to do. Well, I have a pile right here of things that, like a hearing tomorrow or an appointment tomorrow, that I got to do that today because that's going to happen tomorrow and I better be ready for it. And then I got a pile here of things that are going to be coming up and I really need to do them. They're important and I'm going to get around to doing those as soon as I can. And I got a pile here about things I'm going to do. I really need to do them. And then over here, I got another pile of the things you're going to get around to. When you get around to it, you're going to get those done. And as we all know, there's round two, it's hard to find because they don't come around too often. And that stuff piles up. And that's the way the Army Corps engineers treats these, as I understand it. They'll do it. It's part of their job. But they've got much more important things to do, and when they get around to it, they'll do it.
Is there a time expiration where they no longer are going to pay attention to that?
I'll have to defer that to Jim. And
Jim McCulley, JCM Environmental, Georgetown, Delaware. I will tell you, we have an email from the Corps of Engineers Chief of Applications Section, Bill Jenkins, and if you can just put that up. JDs are not required by the Corps. They're actually not required to do them. They will do them as a courtesy if you apply for one. If there's no permit involved, they're not required to give you a JD. So a JD could sit there and languish for a long time. Just as one example, we had one we submitted for the Lowe's site in Dover. Lowe's insisted on having a JD even though they didn't have any disturbance. The Lowe's was built. John Brundage from the Corps of Engineers called me and said, I'm shopping at this new Lowe's. Do you guys still need this JD? Because it's still sitting on my desk. At that point, we said, no, sorry, we don't need it anymore. The Lowe's is built. We really don't care about the JD. So they may eventually get to it. They're not required to, but it may be years and years later, unless there's a permit involved.
So how come there's some variations in the time process? And you got one there's 5 months. Was it special or something?
No. A lot of times it depends on who it gets assigned to at the Corps. When you send something to the Corps, it goes to whoever happens to be next in line to get it. And sometimes you may just hit it perfect and somebody has nothing to do, or this looks like an easy one to deal with and they can get it off their desk and they do it. But it's You know, we've done a whole lot more projects than what you see here. These are the ones we submitted. Most cases, we don't submit for a JD, first of all, because the Corps said, don't submit to us if you don't have a permit, because we don't have time to deal with it. We submit if there's a permit involved or if the client requires us, says, we really want the JD for our comfort level, please submit it. And sometimes you get them, and sometimes they languish for 65 months plus because we still don't have that one.
Do they stay on their records? If somebody wanted to go back and say, this professional said the line was here, and now the JD is done, and it's on file that somebody could go.
Well, they would issue a letter if they ever did issue a JD. I will say, in theory, the information that you submit to the Corps for the JD is still going to be somewhere on somebody's desk forever until they issue that JD. We know from experience that a lot of those files disappear. We don't know where they end up, and they can never find them again.
Good. Gentlemen, the question in front of us today is this particular subdivision and application. Okay. We're not making a hard, fast rule that's going to be forever and ever for everything that ever comes down the pike again. What's in front of us is this one request. I understand there's another one after that, but right now that's what we're dealing with, and we can certainly deal with the broader, the broader implications if we feel like we need to. But today I think we're being asked about this, and I think we remember the specifics of this is this has been over 2 years, I think, that you've been.
November of 2006 is when it got preliminary.
Yeah.
According to the letter, anyway.
Okay, year and a half.
That long ago?
We said. The man said down there.
Shane could. I mean, yeah, that's what the letter said that came in with the request.
When did you make your when did you send it off to the Corps?
Well, we didn't send it off to the Corps when we did the delineation. The delineation was completed before we came in for preliminary review.
Right, we know, yeah.
And we weren't sure if during the design we would end up having some wetland impact permits. So to submit a JD request and then to follow that with wetland impact permits really doesn't make sense.
What you're saying is you have no impact.
This property right now, although Mr. Couts is correct in his statement that the wetlands are certainly an important thing, the delineation of them is really quite simple because it runs with the bank of the pond. As you come into this area here, there's the aerial photograph. There, the red line is the boundary line of the property, which is the shoreline, and the green line, which is just inside of that, is where the wetlands were delineated.
Okay.
These slopes don't look like Sussex County. You've got 10-20% slopes pulling up out of this water where it rises 10-12 feet to where the buildings, the houses are going to be. The only place where there's really anything that pulls away from the shoreline is as you go up into the creek, you do have some areas in here. Well, what we did in our design was we specifically worked around that. We kept our road right away, as you can see right here, completely out of those wetland areas because we did not want to have any impacts. So the road right away all the way out to the entrance of the project completely avoids the wetlands. Now, as you get into where the lots are, the rear lot lines do run with the wetlands for quite a few of these lots. But what we did for that, if you remember back to the preliminary hearing, which I'm sure you all probably memorized everything we told you.
Like it was yesterday.
Fine,
sure. We did add, for all the lots, a 50-foot ecological buffer along these rear lot lines running by and with the wetlands. Now, what is a 50-foot ecological buffer? Well, this is the exact note that was on the preliminary plan that you gentlemen approved. Because of this buffer, which prohibits construction activities within 50 feet of the shore, because we were able to keep the road away from the wetlands, we have no impacts to the federal wetlands, none. We can file in the very near future an artificial impact, put a dump truck load of riprap right up to the edge of the wetlands and kick a few stones over the wetlands line to compel the Corps to give us a written response. So we're gonna create an artificial, unnecessarily impact to produce a piece of paper.
Okay, I think we got the picture.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. All right, guys. What are we doing?
Well, what I've heard so far is that there hasn't been any requests for a JD.
And we've also heard that the Army Corps is not required to do them anyway.
Right. So should we say you only have to apply for a JD?
Well, I'm not sure you want to try to make a hard and fast rule today, okay? This, what's in front of you, is one application request from one applicant.
And then we got another one.
And then you got another one.
And the next month we'll have...
But between now and next month, perhaps we can formulate a, you know, I just think it's a little difficult to set policy on the fly in the middle of a meeting.
Right. So perhaps a better approach might be to defer action on these pending a review of the... of the delineations by this body as to develop a working policy.
And you could ask the staff to do some preliminary research for us and then report back, and we can have it on the agenda as a discussion.
The next special meeting?
The next available meeting anyway. Okay. Yeah, assuming it's the next special meeting. So.
I mean, that to me would make more sense rather than us having a lineup of wetlands reconsideration.
I don't think you're going to get a lineup because the next several agendas are already, next few agendas are already set. You know, you could choose to act on these two and then do a, you know, have it put on a future agenda to come up with a more, more general policy.
And
or
it,
not, mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever. Those
and it may
choices.
Be such that if we get a lineup, what we're saying, of reconsiderations, that the glass is half full on that, because if the Army Corps is not acting and is holding up applications in progress from going forward, I just don't see how work can just totally stop because of their non-responsiveness.
Well, and apparently the Corps is saying... their response is, hey, we're not required to do this. You're asking us to do something we're not required to do.
I think it would be
so
helpful.
That's, you know, we can't do that. We can't ask them for something they're not required to do.
I think it might be more helpful to me if I saw something other than an email from the Army Corps that gave me a better idea of what their policy is. But, if we get some reconsiderations, and that's because that's how business is being done, that the Philadelphia district isn't holding it up.
Knowing how they operate, I think you're probably lucky to get the email, but they're going to be very loath to put something like that in.
No argument there.
I can vouch for that.
You've tried to get them. Yeah, these guys got more out of them than we did.
Yeah.
But that
in itself becomes supportive of the argument of the applicants, I think.
That's what I would say, too. They're non-responsive to the point that they won't even
send
respond to the fact that they're non-responsive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never even got an acknowledgement.
I don't like to set policy on the fly, but 2.5 years to get a permit.
Well, I'm okay if we act on these two, or one or two, if you want to, that's fine. And then we can, and we should establish a policy in the very near future to deal with precisely what Mr. Johnson said, which would be the inevitable stampede if we don't have a policy. So,
yeah, what I would, I don't know how many applications are affected. We've got how many time extensions have we granted in the last year? Over 100 subdivisions.
Yeah, I would
and
suspect
some of those are
that
in that situation where they've got to ask for that.
Yeah, and I would suspect that. There might be a handful of them where this is the only holdup, but I suspect with a lot of them.
And I'll tell you, I feel more comfortable, and I apologize to the folks sitting here, but to defer on that, because I'd like to know a little bit more, make sure everybody's being treated.
I'm good. Whatever. Yeah. Do it.
Mr. Chairman, concerning the request by subdivision number 2005-71, Delaware Land Associates for a wetlands jurisdictional determination request. My motion is for deferral to give opportunity for staff to do research on this and for the commission to discuss the policy in general.
On to the next special
meeting. And
The research I'd like to know about, too, while you're making that, is in light of what Mr. Fuqua said, I'd like to verify whether this has been a requirement that's been put on every subdivision or, you know, or
last 3 or 4 years we've been reading, putting it in the letter for final approval.
Okay, so.
Every and have been getting it.
Some of them we even have at the public hearing stage.
Yeah, I know, because it's taken a while. They've applied for it before they've actually gotten to the point of having the hearing. That's what I sort of thought.
And because Shane put that in his letter, it wasn't necessarily a specific part of the motion because that's been the policy of the commission to ask for it.
That's right.
On a continued basis. So.
Yeah, so I agreed.
And what we're looking at potentially is for Mr. Christianberry's benefit is that we may be looking at a delay of perhaps only 2 months in coming up with a determination on this. So we're not talking about a long protracted period of time here for study and research, I would presume.
Well, I was thinking we'd put if it was put on for the next special meeting, it'd be a month, assuming we made a decision then.
Right, exactly.
Which we may not do.
Presuming we get enough research.
Yep. Got a motion. We have a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2005-71 Delaware Land Associates Wetlands Jurisdictional Determination request to give the staff time to compile data requested by the commission with the understanding that we would like to have it on for our next special meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.